guys. Welcome back to Esthetician on the Edge, the podcast. In this week's episode, I'm going to knock out a few topic requests that I got from a story that I posted. It'll probably be a few weeks back by the time I record this. You all had some great topic ideas, and I will try to get to them all in time, but for the business and social media questions, I'm kind of clueless, so I'll try to bring in some other people to talk about that aspect of being an esthetician. I suck at social media, and I've only been in business for myself since, I think, maybe beginning of June. So I would not consider myself the person to speak on a successful business venture just yet. So hang in there while I try to gather these people for your listening pleasure. All right, let's start off with a controversial topic: waxing brows into shapes that you don't agree with or like. This is a hot button topic for a lot of people out there. Not me. Not me at all. If a client comes into me and they tell me they want to thin their brows, I'm going to thin them. If they tell me they want to round their arch, I'm going to round their arch. If they want me to take off the end of their brow, guess what? I'm going to take off the end of their brow. I have no emotional attachment to that brow or to that end result. Waxing to me, it's part of my job. You wanted to wax, I'll wax you. It's as simple as that. My business, it's not built on brows, and I know for a fact that it never will be. I don't have that passion for brows. My business is built on happy clients telling other people that they are happy with my services. At this point in my career, I can't give you like an exact number of sperm brow clients I've done or do currently that have referred numerous, like lots and lots of clients my way. And believe it or not, those referrals, they usually are not sperm brows or even thin brows. They are normal, everyday brows. And all those brow appointments have, in the years, evolved into other things like facial treatments or chemical peels or microneedling. So yeah, I'll take that sperm brow client that nobody else wants, and I turn that very quick, very easy $25 service into a $195 facial plus the brow wax plus the brow tint plus $200 in product sales. In this esthetician's opinion, you limit your client base by refusing to wax clients with thin brows or poorly shaped brows. I understand your reasoning behind it. I really, truly do. A lot of you are out there building your brand on social media with these gorgeous picture-filled grids of big, dark, blocky brows. You're known for producing and reproducing and reproducing and reproducing the same brow on everyone. Shit, that was shade I didn't even mean to throw. I didn't mean that how it sounded. But you're known for a certain brow. You get what I'm saying? You are building a reputation, and a sperm brow or a comma brow or whatever you call it, a hook brow or just a thin straight brow, that cannot be part of your collection of work. You don't want those people with that undesirable brow telling another person that you waxed that brow shape for them. The number of times I've heard other Estes or even student Estes say, "I won't wax her brow like that," is, well, it's a lot. I've heard it a lot. But I mean, think about it. Don't you think that that is so bold of you to make that choice for someone else? That would be tantamount to you going to a stylist. Let's just say. So you go to a hairstylist and you say, "Hey, I found this cut in this color. I love it. I love it so much." And she tells you no. She won't do that. That you're going to regret it. That if you just let your hair grow in for about 6 months to a year, then there would be something for her to work with and shape into what is trendy now, what she likes to cut. Because that is exactly what you guys are doing on a smaller scale. When someone comes in wanting a cleanup and you tell them, What you really need to do is to let this hair grow in. That way we can shape them to be more suitable for your face. Come back in 6 months to a year, and then we'll start the shaping process, because then I'll have something to work with. You know what? Maybe that person likes their thin-ass brow. Maybe that person has tried growing their brows in, and they know that they are not going to grow anymore. It's not going to happen for them. And I'll tell all of you right now, waxing a brow into a thin shape is hard as fuck. Way harder than shaping brows like the style is currently. I can tell you because I've done both. Now, big brows, big angled blocky brows. It is a lot less about waxing and more about being skilled with tint, concealer, and a brow pencil. The minute a client wants to go from normal-sized brows to a thinner brow, I don't care how many years I've been in the industry, my ass cheeks still clench tight, and I'm like, oh fuck, here we go. Am I gonna fuck it up or am I gonna get it right? Two or three hairs can make a difference. Like, seriously, can make a huge difference in a thin brow. Really, truly, two or three hairs can just take it from a thin brow to, oh shit, I hope that grows back brow. Now, I have to be honest, because I'm always honest with you guys. Do I like doing thin brows? Do I like it? No, I don't particularly like it. Do I think that a sperm brow looks good on anyone? No, I don't. I really don't. Do I want people to have the McDonald's arch? Do I want people to have that rounded arch? Absolutely not. But it is not about me and it is not about you. It's about what the client wants. They have to walk around in their own skin with those thin brows. And if that's what they like, who am I to say no? I should give them the shape that they want. Now, of course, I do a consultation with all clients who are wanting to do a drastic brow change. I do a consultation with new clients who look like they're probably going to want me to wax it into a sperm or a thin or a hook or a comma shape. Always do that consultation. I always ask them how the hair grows. We have this conversation. I ask them if they've used anything to help their hair grow. All of that is covered. But in the end, I am going to do what that client tells me to do. I educate them on how hard it is to maintain an overly groomed brow. And that's it. That's all I'm going to say to them. If they want me to take the hair, I am going to take the hair. And even though I've made my argument, I know I'm absolutely 100%, I know this, that I am not going to change anyone's mind, and not a single soul is going to be swayed by my argument. And you know why? Because your ego is attached to your argument, and there's no getting around that. But I will say, if you are going to be one of those waxers that refuses or says, I won't wax thin brows and I won't round out an arch, you need to put that on your advertising. I'm serious. Somewhere on your social media or on your booking site or on your website, you need a disclaimer that states clearly, I only wax brows that I find aesthetically pleasing. So if you have rounded brows or you have thin brows or you have sparse brows that you don't want to make look thicker, don't call for an appointment. Now, is that harsh? Yeah, it's fucking harsh, but it's also harsh to get someone on your table, swing that bright light over them, and then tell them you're not going to wax them. It's actually kind of a dick move. So just be a dick up front and save everyone the headache and the embarrassment. Awesome. And that is my very unpopular opinion on waxing brow shapes that you don't agree with. Okay, next up, had a request to talk about retailing. Retailing specifically in presentation. I don't think that they wanted to know how to pick or pull or anything like that, like how to choose products. I think the person mentioned sounding like they were, how did she put it, swallowed a pamphlet. I like that, by the way. And I completely know what they are talking about because I've, and I'm sure you have too, been pitched products in that exact same fashion. You know, like, this is the serum that I used on you. It contains licorice root and bearberry to lighten and brighten your skin. In studies, 47% of women noticed an improvement in dark spots with just one bottle. Cool. Yeah, I'll take three of those. Nope. I lost interest the moment you said it contains. Yeah, and that's what most clients will be like too. They don't know that shit and they don't care. When you're approaching a client about retail, you have to figure out first, what do they want? What is important to them and what will make them buy this product? Just reciting facts and figures, that usually doesn't do it. You gotta tailor what you're saying based on the things that you learned while you were in service with that client. Was the client chatty? Were they personable? Were they super quiet, reserved, shy, inquisitive? All of that is going to lead your sales pitch. Believe it or not, most people, they do actually want recommendations at the end of service. I know there's always going to be those people that really don't care, but most people, the majority of your clients, would love to hear what you would recommend for their skin. That does not mean that they're going to buy it. They just want to hear it. So I always told my students, whenever you approach a client to make product recommendations, make it a conversation, not a recommendation. And that sounds very simple, but that is what it is. You want to have a conversation with the client. Don't lecture them. And I only ever show two products, ever, much to the dismay of all of my former bosses. That's all you're going to get from me. Now, the two products that I pulled are in some way tied to what their concerns were in the facial service when we were speaking. You know how some places will want you to like sell shit that's about to go out of date, or they got a deal on it in wholesale and they've got like 1,000 of them, or they're wanting to discontinue a product line and they're trying to just move it off the shelves. Nope, fuck off with that shit. Don't you dare show people that stuff. That's how you build distrust with your client. That's how they think that you just want their money. Pull two products that you think will work really well for that client and fuck all the rest of that stuff. I want to create a relationship where I can have that client in for more treatments and have that client purchase retail from me. And you don't do that by just trying to sell them shit because your manager says to. Managers, are you listening? I hope you are. Quit telling people to sell shit. So speaking of the products, you want to listen to what the client said when they spoke of their products that they're using. Did they seem to like what they're using? You know, were they happy with it? Were they kind of indifferent? Were they missing steps in their regimen? You know, if they're missing steps in their regimen, that's the products you pull. If they didn't show a lot of love for their cleanser, pull a cleanser. If they're not using a sunscreen, pull a sunscreen. It's very simple. If I say, what do you cleanse with? And they say a makeup wipe. Guess what I'm pulling? I'm pulling a cleanser because a makeup wipe is not enough. If I say, what moisturizer are you using? And they tell me coconut oil. Guess what I'm pulling? I'm pulling a moisturizer. But let's get into verbiage. Let's talk about verbiage because I'm getting off track like I always do. But let's say I'm trying to sell a serum because my client, she has stuff that she's already using in all the other categories. So she's got her cleanser, she's got her moisturizer, she's got her SPF, blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't have a serum. So I pick up the product, I open it. Hopefully you guys have testers you can use. And I pump it onto the back of their hand and I say, this is that serum that I used on you. It's amazing. Feel that. And I want to make sure that they're rubbing it in. Can you feel? It's not tacky. It's not heavy. It is perfect to add into your daytime routine. Just a quick little pump you apply, and it's going to give you all the brightening that you're looking for, and it'll still layer really nicely under the moisturizer that you're using. That's it. I'm done. Walk away. That's all I'm going to say about that product. But Esty, you say, you harp on us about knowing ingredients. When do I show my ingredient chops? Yeah, I know I do. But you don't have to give a lecture with each product. A lot of clients, they don't care what ingredients are doing the job. They just want to know, does it work? And how much does it cost? And that's it. You need to know ingredients, not to impress your clients, but to have a level of comfort in services and in products. Yeah, of course, you're going to get a few clients that are invested and interested in ingredients. And if you've done your homework, they're not even a speed bump for you. You know exactly the answers to their questions. There should never be a moment of doubt or discomfort when you're explaining how ingredients work to your client if you've done your homework. And that confidence that carries through to your client. They hear that tone loud and clear. It's going to show that you know your shit. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've had clients buy products just because I knew what I was talking about. They tell me at the end when we wrap up the sale, I can tell that you know your stuff, so I think this serum is going to be a good fit for me. Yeah, you're right. It is going to be a perfect fit for you. In skincare, as in everywhere else, knowledge is power. It makes you confident. You want to immerse yourself in whatever product line that you use. Test it on yourself. See what it feels, what it smells like, how much it takes to cover the face and the neck and the chest. All the things. You need to know all the things about the product. You need to be able to speak confidently, concisely, and clearly when conveying that information to a client. So again, when you're selling retail, it's a conversation. Don't make it a lecture. Don't trot out all those boring ass percentages and statistics unless they ask you for it. And some of them will. They're going to ask you. I'm telling you right now, I swear, I think I have a few clients and they study before they come in to any appointment to see me because they ask questions like y'all do. It's like I'm being tested or something. And if I don't know something, I'll be the first one to tell somebody, I don't know that answer, but I'm going to go find out now because I'm intrigued that I don't know the answer. I don't bullshit on ingredients because you're going to get caught. So just admit you don't know and go look it up and then be a font of knowledge the next time you have that client. Now, if you are trying to move a client from a store brand to your brand, first of all, most important question you need to ask, why are you doing that? And it's got to be a better reason than, well, my shit is professional. Okay. But why? That's not a good reason. Because the client will want to know this too. If they are perfectly content with their CeraVe cleanser and their skin is clean and there's no damage, why would they need to buy your $28 cleanser when they can go get a $7 cleanser that does the job? This is where a lot of estheticians lose their clients' trust right here in this moment. You have a decision to make. Do I let them continue using the CeraVe or do I make the hard stand and tell them they need my professional cleanser because, well, it's professional, whatever the fuck that means. So tread very carefully and pick your battles. A cleanser is not that battle unless your client has acne or rosacea and they're using the incorrect formulation. Then it's a battle. But other than that, let them use the fucking cleanser. Now, I will tell a lot of you fall back on this word, and I hate this word. If I could ban it from the SD definition or the SD vocabulary, I would do so. Toxic. Hate that. The word toxic should never enter into a skincare conversation. I can tell you that right now. Unless they are washing their face in radioactive chemicals and moisturizing with used motor oil, then you can have a conversation about toxic. Now, is there something better for them? Probably. Possibly. But again, why? Why do they need to change? If they've still got a lot of blackheads, that's a perfect reason. You could point that out. Your cleanser is obviously not doing its job because you have a ton of blackheads or you have a ton of pimples. If their skin looks dry or irritated, totally could be the cleanser if you've ruled everything out. You just got to have a justifiable reason for trying to punt somebody out of something that they like into something that you like. That's all I'm saying. And if they love something and it's not hurting anything, Jesus Christ, let them use it. I always try to aim for more concentrated products like serums or moisturizers. For me, it's easier to move those, in my opinion. Like, that's an easier sell for me than a cleanser. It really is. Eventually, if you make that person a regular and they become a really good client for you, you can slowly move them into using all of your products if you really want to. But trust takes time. I will tell you, if you're just, you know, really wanting to move them out of CeraVe or Cetaphil, there is one line that I sometimes use to kind of shoehorn them out of drugstore brands, if you will. All I do is I say something like, I know that you use the CeraVe moisturizer and it's fine. Use it all up. I'm like you, girl. I hate to waste products. But you know what? When you run out, if you want to level up your skincare products, I have a recommendation that I think you're going to love. It's a lot more bang for your buck. And that's it. That's all I say. And I think the tone of "it's fine" conveys more than any, you know, anything negative that I could say about that product. And the fact that I specifically say to them, when you're ready to level up. So I just kind of told them they were basic. They'll only do that in extreme circumstances. But it works. It does. That's so shady and underhanded. But sometimes the Cetaphil and the CeraVe is not working for them and they love it for the wrong reasons, just because it's cheap. So if you want to punt them out of drugstore brands, that's my line. That's what I use. And I do think I sell more product because I don't try to sell product. I talk product and I tell them experiences with product, but I don't push it. Hell, I spend half my time telling them not to buy something. So I'm very trustworthy when it comes to product. But one thing I also don't do is I don't poo-poo their stuff. So I don't talk shit about what they're using. If it works, fine. It works for you. So in closing, when retailing, know your shit, but don't tell them all your shit unless they ask for it. Make it a conversation and not a lecture. Only make recommendations to address skin conditions or to enhance their current routine. And that's it. As simple as can be. Hope that helped a bit. If it's not quite what you needed, those people that reached out to me, reach out again and I'll see what I can do to help you one-on-one. Right? Okay, I think I can get one more knocked out and stay on time. I told y'all I'm trying to keep these at 30 minutes so that you don't want to shoot yourselves. But someone wrote in and asked about the BB Glow and why it's an abomination. That was her wording. The BB Glow and why it's an abomination. And I just love that so much that I had to talk about it. And if you guys don't know what the BB Glow is, pop onto YouTube and type in BB Glow and a bazillion videos will pull up, each more terrifying than the next. So BB Glow is using a microneedling device to push pigmented serums past your epidermis, resulting in a more even skin tone. Just like normal microneedling, you're going to want to do a series of three, spaced, in this case, 3 to 4 weeks apart. And once you've completed your series, best case scenario, you have got an even color coverage for about 4 months. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? That sounds totally safe, right? You're only pushing in pigments that are from Russia and China, and they're not approved for the purpose that they are being used for. That's fine. But let's look at what could go wrong. Let's try that. How about it? For starters, you could have an allergic reaction, scarring, and then there's this little thing where the tissue around the pigment could harden. I think it's called granulomas. You could have really weird hyperpigmentation. You could also have uneven distribution of the pigment. Infections happen. Infections can happen with microneedling. Organ toxicity, because again, the pigment is not approved for internal use. And let's not forget that it is also not an FDA approved service in any way, shape, or form. And I almost forgot, I don't know how, I forget this one huge thing that you might want to stop and ponder before you BB Glow it. According to laser experts, if you get a BB Glow, you can never, ever, ever, you hear me, your whole entire life, you can never get any sort of laser treatment in the future. Nothing. Nada. But why? Why, SD? Why? Well, the ink that they use in the BB does not play well with lasers. And the skin has been burned and seared and seared. That word, that should not be with skin. That just, it's not a good word with skin. But has been burned, seared, and scarred with just one pass of the laser. Or, and this is my favorite, the ink that they use oxidizes and turns blue under the skin because the pigments are usually a mixture of titanium dioxide and brown and red pigments, and that's what mimics skin tone. And did you know that titanium dioxide is one of the largest and long-lasting pigment particles, and that potentially it could remain in your skin your whole live long life? I mean, most people don't even want to wear sunscreen because of the wonderful titanium. but they're going to let someone beat it into their skin with needles. Yeah, that makes no fucking sense at all. And something else to think about, most of the pigments are sourced from China and Russia, and they cost like $18 for 3 tubes of them. So that's some quality right there. You can guarantee that. And you can get them on Amazon. Always lovely. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there really isn't any pigments that are approved for insertion under the skin, even with tattoos. But this is your face. Hello, your face. The first thing people see about you. This isn't your boob or your stomach or your leg. Why would you even try to mess with your face? That's bizarre to me. Seriously, no one knows how the ink will fade because the treatment is too new. There's no way to predict if you'll get an even all over fade. And in 5 months, it'll all be gone. Or if the left side of your face will hold on the color for a month longer. Or maybe right under your eyes will fade before anything else. Then you're kind of just going to look like a fucked up mid-century modern abstract painting. Ooh, like an early Pollock, only not good. Like toddler Pollock. Yeah, that's your face now. You are a toddler Pollock. No, just say no. Instead of addressing issues like hyperpigmentation and fine lines, you are covering it up when you do a BB Glow. That's not what estheticians do. We don't cover up the shit. We are supposed to be improving the health and skin and thereby improve the overall look of the skin, not cover it up. I just can't believe that they are finding clients for this. It boggles the damn mind. The fact that you can never get a laser treatment, that should be like, stop. I do not want this service now. That's one of the best things going for wrinkles and spots and rosacea. Like, it's like an anti-aging wonderland with lasers. Oh, fuck it. Let's stop the madness. BB Glow gets 2 thumbs down for me. Sorry, not a fan. Okay. I'm looking at the time. Okay, I lied. I think I have time for one more really quickie. And it's not even really getting into a topic, but y'all had a super strong reaction to a response I got from a follower. And as soon as I start saying it, you're going to know what I'm talking about. They had said in one of the response boxes, what were my thoughts on trashy Estes posting coochie waxes and such. And then she said, I can DM you examples. Lord, have mercy. Y'all lost your damn minds on this poor person. I was so glad you couldn't reply. Really glad. But she sent me examples of exactly what she was talking about, and it wasn't what you all thought that she was speaking on. She wasn't talking about before and after pictures of Brazilians or bikinis. That's not what she was talking about. Even a little bit. So if you stewed about that, stop stewing. She was not talking about your before and after vajay pics, I promise. She sent me some of the most, most vulgar, inappropriate post that I think I have ever seen on a supposedly professional page. There are not words. Blatantly sexual memes. No innuendo. It was just blatant. Like, sexual memes about the smell, the taste, and the look of, and I quote, and you might want to cover your children's ears or cover your own ears because a lot of y'all hate this word, pussy before and after waxing. Oh, like, shivers is what that gives me. I will tell you right here, right now, I'm not a prude in any way, shape, or form. I curse like a sailor. I'm not sensitive about anything sexual at all. I can tell fucking dirty jokes with the best of them. And it takes so much to embarrass me or to make me feel uncomfortable. It's ridiculous. Truly, truly, no fucks given. Hell, I wrote erotic romance for 2 years and was published. So yeah, sex and talking about anything like that, it's not a big deal. Strong or coarse language does not faze me at all. But y'all, We're talking about our profession. We can't use sex to sell our services. Sexualizing what we do can put any of us, in harm's way during a treatment. Y'all know how some people are. They see posts like the one this person posted about kissing a waxed, and I quote, pussy, and think, oh, she a freak. And all these estheticians out here, they must be freaks too. I'm gonna go let one of them handle my balls for about 30 minutes, and then I'm gonna talk dirty to them. Well, fuck that. I don't like dealing with dudes that don't know boundaries. Even women sometimes can get super creepy. I don't wax people for them to get laid. That ain't in my mind. I just want the hair gone and your money. That's all I want from your wax. It is so unprofessional, so bad for our industry. People already think aesthetics is a joke. They already think that it's fun or a hobby. Why would you give the world more ammunition to point at us? It is crazy. Stop sexualizing our services. And that's really all that I have to say about that. Our Pam of the Week is brought to you by Sarah Cook Skincare. And she says, when I was a baby Estee at Ulta, I had a girl come in for a Brazilian. First of all, she brought her kid into the room in a big stroller, and I hadn't yet learned to say no. I stepped out to let her get ready. When I came back in, had to maneuver the stroller around and out of my way. I pull back the towel and discover that she has shaved everything except this small patch that looks like a landing strip. So I decided to wax her, but only charge her for like maybe a brow or a bikini. That is, until I had her flip over onto her hands and knees, and she looks back at me and says, "Your job is disgusting." And without missing a beat, I said, "It's only as disgusting as the people who are paying me to do it." I finished and I ended up charging her for the full Brazilian. She didn't tip, nor did she ever come back. Good riddance. And Sarah does add for clarification, the girl's attitude sucked and she was rude to me the whole time, but the disgusting statement was the final straw. You don't have to like me, but you do have to respect me. Pro tip, don't ever be a dick to people who deal with your food, your skin, or your hair. Words from the wise, Sarah. Words from the wise. She's got a point, guys. All right, that is all the time that I have for today. Thank you all for listening and reviewing and rating the podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, I welcome them all via DMs or my email at estheticianontheedge@yahoo.com. As always, wishing you guys a Pam-free week. See you next show.